What's up, everyone, and welcome to Good Morning on Purpose, a daily podcast that aims to evoke a sense of possibility or positivity in your day. While the topics in this podcast will vary wildly, I can promise to meet you with an honest greeting, my thoughts and feelings for that day, and all of this culminates in how you might make it a good morning on purpose. I strongly believe that one of the most powerful influences on our lives is our perspective, and from those perspectives spring endless possibilities. And so, with that in mind, and without further ado, from me to you. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. As I join you here at the start of my day, having just woken up and honestly skipping my routine to talk while I still feel how I feel. I feel like waking up is like the end of one thing and the beginning of another thing. Obviously, that's super straightforward. It's the end of being asleep. But, I mean, especially when I sleep heavily, it's like popping back into existence. It's like a shift from one phase of reality into another. It's very weird. I mean, how do we even know if we still exist while we're asleep? Or if we wake up in the same reality or dimension? I don't know how many other people will feel this way when they wake up, but I do more often than I'd care to admit. And today, as I think and reflect on changes in states, in states of reality, or going from one thing to another, I'm reminded of a podcast episode, an interview, that I listened to recently between Lex Fridman and Dr. Jana Levin. Dr. Levin is a theoretical cosmologist and a professor of physics and astronomy at Barnard College. And when I listened to this interview, I was inspired. I mean, this is a topic that I'm really interested in, space and black holes and quantum physics and warp holes and space-time. It's so exciting. But one thing that really struck me was the love and the beauty and the poetry in so much of the science. So much of this story. It's an amazing podcast episode. If you have any interest in these types of things, I highly recommend that you check it out. Because for me, it inspired a deep dive into black holes. Throughout a star's life, it's in a constant battle between gravity pulling inward and the outward pressure of its nuclear fusion in its core. When the star exhausts all of its nuclear fuel, it can no longer generate outward pressure that it needs to counteract gravity. With nothing to stop it, gravity overwhelms the star, and the core completely collapses, catastrophically, inward in a fraction of a second. The collapse produces a huge shockwave that causes the star's outer layers to explode into a supernova. If the core was big enough, if the core of the star was massive enough, gravity will continue to compact it into an infinitely dense point called a singularity, and this creates a black hole. Fascinatingly, at the center of almost every single galaxy, including our own, there is something called a supermassive black hole. We don't know for sure how they've formed. One theory is that they formed from the merging of a whole bunch of other smaller black holes that sank into the center of the galaxy over billions of years. Another theory is that clouds of gas in the early parts of the universe may have collapsed to form these huge supermassive black holes, or it's possible that existing black holes can just grow in size by consuming and absorbing things around it, like gas and dust and stars. There's also this idea of primordial black holes, which are theoretical, but they're tiny black holes that have formed in the first moments after the Big Bang. They're much, much, much smaller than these stellar black holes, possibly as small as atoms, but with the mass of a mountain. A primordial black hole that exists today would be really difficult to detect, so we're not really 100% sure if they exist. In April of 2019, the first images of a supermassive black hole was captured by the Event Horizon Telescope. A quick Google search will show you the images of what this looked like. It's this perfectly dark, almost circular shape. The thing that we see isn't the black hole's surface itself, but it's a shadow. It's defined by the event horizon, or the point of no return, where light can no longer escape. Black holes suck things into it, including light, and since the light is not being reflected by anything, they appear as just pure darkness. Around the central shadow, which is the black hole, is this orbiting disk of superheated gas and dusk, and it's called an accretion disk. And it glows because the friction of the matter that swirls at close to light speed heats all of this matter to millions and millions of degrees, which causes it to emit visible light, as well as X-rays and radio waves. It's not uniformly bright because there is this issue of relativistic perspective in the universe. I think this one particularly being called Doppler beaming. So because some of these materials are moving towards Earth while other parts are moving away, the side spinning that towards us that we observe looks brighter just because of where we are in relation to the black hole. The gravity of a black hole warps space-time. Space-time being something that I'm not going to take time to try to define here. But the gravity of these things, the literal gravity of the black hole, is this massively powerful force in the universe. And there are so many other aspects to black holes that I find truly fascinating. But there is one thing in particular in listening to Dr. Levin's interview with Lex Friedman that spoke to me that I wanted to share today. When two black holes orbit each other, they're locked in this gravitational dance. Each one is warping the fabric of space around it, and as they get closer together, due to the loss of energy, they eventually collide and merge. But these things don't have, like, a physical shell. They don't have a surface. They're regions of space-time that are so warped that nothing, not even light, can escape. So when they merge, it's the warping itself that undergoes this violent motion. It's almost like this process in physics is colliding with another one. The collision doesn't just affect the immediate surroundings. It sends ripples through the whole fabric of space and time itself. These are called gravitational waves, and they were predicted by Einstein's general theory of relativity in 1915. Literally exactly 100 years later to the day, there is a project called the LIGO Project that detected these gravitational waves. Really, really interesting story, also included in the interview with Dr. Levin. Very, very inspiring to hear. So, if you imagine space-time as a pond, and you dropped two stones that are black holes into the pond, you'd watch the ripples spread out, except instead of water, it's the very fabric of the universe. Now, my understanding is that space is a vacuum, so there is no sound. You can't necessarily hear things. Which is why, more recently, in science fiction movies, there is no sound of spaceships and sounds of explosions and things like that. It wouldn't make any noise. Those are just sound effects. But gravitational waves don't need a medium like air to travel. They travel through the vacuum and warp and stretch space itself. These waves cause tiny shifts in the distance between two points, which is how we are able to detect them with the LIGO detector. There are two arms, and they're able to, I guess, I haven't done enough research into this, but detect these shifts. When those shifts happen in the right frequency range, which is between 10 and 1,000 hertz, they match the range of human hearing. The LIGO detectors are able to translate these ripples into sound, not just metaphorically, but literally into sound. And so if we were out in space, and we were to hear the collision of these gravitational waves, our ears would be able to detect those shifts in space-time. You could literally hear a sort of chirp. A chirp that is the collision of these two unbelievably massive, powerful forces colliding in space. In the Lex Friedman interview, and in her book, Black Hole Blues, Dr. Levin says, "These are not sound waves in the air. These are waves in the actual shape of space, but they behave very similarly to sound, with pitch and amplitude and harmonics. We can, and we did, convert them to sound. This means that the sound that was detected is a cosmic music. It's not made of pressure waves in the air, but vibrations in existence itself." And something that strikes me so deeply is that our universe is filled with things like this. with stars that turn into black holes that can collide and potentially form these supermassive black holes, however those are formed, that sit at the center of galaxies. Galaxies that are filled with other wonders and mysteries, filled with answers to questions that most of us don't spend any time thinking about and have no concept of. And so although we sit on the tiny little speck of dust in the, on the scale of the universe that is Earth, filled with this unique thing that is life, trees and animals and plants, human beings that sleep and wake, and as we have this thing called consciousness that allows us to have the perspective to observe these things, to research and ponder, to go about our lives day in and day out, I think it's so inspiring to think that we are a thing, a part of this unbelievable universe, and that our lives are also a remarkable part of that universe. The seemingly normal things that we do every day could be just as consequential as the collision of two black holes. And there's no way of knowing which of any single action that we commit leads to another and another and another that creates ripples throughout existence in a completely different way. And I don't know about you, but thinking about all of this today, the consequence and the meaning that my life has on the universe has helped me to have a good morning on purpose. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode. The music today was by Scott Buckley, and you can find more information about the tracks that I used in the show notes. Furthermore, although I'm not 100% sure what this will look like in the future, if this is something that I'll have to change, I'll include a link to the Lex Friedman interview with Dr. Jan Levin, because I truly loved it. It's very long, so if you're not a long-form podcast person, maybe find a different way to absorb some of this information, but I thought it was great. I thought it's worth a listen, no matter who you are, how you feel about Lex Friedman, or long-form podcasts, or all these other things. Furthermore, you can hear the translation of the gravitational waves into sound in a YouTube video, and it's not like crazy remarkable to listen to necessarily, but I think it's really, really cool. I'll include a link to that YouTube video as well so that you can check it out. There's also a strong possibility that some of my explanations of these things were 100% wrong. I can only do so much research and trying to understand these things. It's an avenue of my life that I hope to change someday and have a deep understanding of philosophy and physics, of biology and chemistry and mathematics, where I can speak really confidently about, anything I want to, but that's not me today. So I did my best. Go live today as the shining star that you are, because you might wake up tomorrow as a black hole that orbits another black hole, collides, and creates an unbelievable sound that has an impact on everyone else around you. Sappy and metaphorical, I know, but it's just how I'm feeling today. Thank you for listening. I'll catch you on the next one.